They crave exposure. It's an evil craving. They crave all the things that you will see with a man who was blessed of God. But you crave them directly, it's evil. Do you get what I'm saying? What is he supposed to crave? To be pleasing in the sight of God, number one. What are the practical things about it? There is a ministry that has been committed into my hands. I exercise myself accordingly. Do you follow my point? I like what the Bishop Oyedepo said many years ago. He said, look, for those of you who knew me then, he said, the way I preach now, I use as much energy when I was preaching to only 10 people. Yes, it's a matter of fact. And this is Pastor Banky talking now. For those of you who knew me then, it used to be only 4 or 5 sitting there on Saturday. I think I preach with the same amount of energy. In fact, more actually, than I do now. You know, I didn't have this quality of microphone that time. So you shouted some more. What am I trying to explain? I exercise myself accordingly. That's what he was saying. That is, once I'm exercising myself, God is pleased. Let me explain what I mean. You know, somebody told me some time ago that, and it's already happening in Nigeria. You know, there's a way, if you want to be very famous, there are things you do to become very famous. I just pay a reporter. You know, it's very simple. My friend downstairs, that's the one that taught me that. I said, that one is simple. One day we bought a magazine and he showed me a write-up about his company. And he described how this place is Nenugu, this and this and that and that. I said, oh boy, now wow, how you take managers? He laughed. He said, that's 3,000 I are talking. He said, just call the reporter, buy him drink, buy him food, give him 3,000 in an envelope. And the guy write up anything where he want to put that for newspaper. I said, this one is small. Then when they launched the other project, he said, that one cost him 10,000 naira. Full page weekend newspaper. Full page discussing some trends happening right now in Eastern Nigeria. And the people pioneering it. How you take money? He said, nah, 10K is not difficult. Just call the reporter. Say, well, how far? All right, hey, we have some issues going on. Give the guy a rundown. While you are talking, food is flowing. Drink is flowing. Everything is flowing. And by the time he's leaving, you slip an envelope into his hand. The guy look the envelope. He counter, he corrects, put it in for pocket. The guy, don't worry. In 2 days time, watch out. And of course, you go share the money with the editor. Okay, editor, this is not your own cut. Business day. You do, he said, why pay 200 and some thousand naira for a food page advert? Don't worry, take 20K. It's news. This is not advert now, it's news. So if I want to do that, preachers do it. I want to do that as a ministry. You just go and call one newspaper. Weekend, you know, Sunday, you know, the junk time, not serious news time, Sunday and Saturday. So boy, project. We budget maybe like 50K for the project. In 3 or 4 different newspapers, we spend the money. So there is a young, upcoming, fiery preacher coming out of the East. Listen to me, at the end of 2 months, everybody knows your name. And you know, there are a lot of jokers like you all over the nation also, who are inviting you for programs. For only one reason. You're a hot... They have never heard you preach. What's the big deal? After all, you're famous. Yes, it's a people that are doing it. Now, what do they do that? You will think that, then you now hear that, one day, do you know this guy actually bribed to have this one? Do you know this happened? God said, you see, that's idolatry. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's idolatry. You see, very soon, you see the men are beginning to commit what you call acts of immorality. They begin to grumble and whine about everything. You say, why are they like this? I can't believe that a preacher can be like this. Shh. Because, relax, that's not the problem. The problem was what he was craving at the beginning. Do you get my point? And Paul said, these things were recorded for our learning. Now, look at what he said. He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Are you getting my point? You see, we'll talk about this one on Saturday. This is actually not... What I want to say is not a message for today. Just wanted to explain something briefly. He said, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There is a process for taking heed, all right? And that is not for those who have fallen. It's for those who are doing what? Who think they are standing. You know, when I was talking with Sabina McFoy today, she said something that really made me laugh. He said she was doing that the people who are deceiving people are the ones who start with warnings. Be careful that you are not deceived. You don't get the point. He said the man who is deceived already and who is deceiving other people is the one who stands and introduces, as soon as he arrives, said, my son, let me warn you. Be careful. There's so much deception going on out there. Meanwhile, he's deceived. And he's trying to deceive you. Or he's not deceived, he's lying and he's trying to deceive you. And he's the one shouting. And that's why it's so important that as a believer, you are very careful you don't always point. Do you get my point? To other people. That you carefully examine your eyes in the morning. Say, the log that was there yesterday, has it shifted? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I'm using the words of Jesus Christ. You look out for the log inside your own eyes. It's very, on Saturday I'll discuss that, all right? The process of purification of the heart is important. Because you must never assume, you must never assume that everything you do is perfect. One of the things, prayers I pray sometimes is, God, please, I teach people and I know that they are blessed through the word that I preach. They are corrected. I also take correction from the things that I say. I take correction through the things that I say. I take corrections from them. But, I say, of course, there are people who know much more than I do. Who have preached much more than I have preached. Or will preach for a long time to come. I said, dear Lord, please expose me to their ministry. It's a prayer I pray. Because nobody knows everything. Nobody. One day I was watching TV. There were two Americans I noticed. They're not very famous. They're just there. Been preaching for decades. I said, God, please, I need to get these people's materials. I listened to a few hours of their messages. And it really touched my life. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what you don't know. Are you getting my point? When it's exposed to you, you'll be amazed. That's why Paul said, the person who is standing is the one that should be careful. Now, I like the way he said it. He said, let him who does what? Thinks. That's the word. Let him who thinks. It is opinion. Let him who thinks. Some of them were actually found later. They're actually on the floor. And they thought they were standing. The Lord is good. Please, it's what I'm saying there. I hope it's getting clear. All right, so he said these things were recorded for our learning. Now, let's just get it clear. I said something on Saturday talking about purification of the heart and talking about does Satan have anything in you? It's so important for us. I just want to outline the things that he was referring to. Now, he said, let us not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink. And they stood up to play. Now that was describing what happened when Moses was not around for a while. And before he came back, they had donated all their jewelry, all their gold and all of that. And made a calf which Aaron helped them to make. And that was what he was referring to there. And then the next line was, let us not act immorally as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. Now that was the issue about Balaam and Balak. When Balaam couldn't curse the people. And then he counseled Balaam, I read from Revelations, that he counseled Balaam that what he needed, Balak, that what he needed to do was to let the women loose in the presence of the children of Israel. And the people began to act immorally. Are you getting my point? And therefore, they opened the door, okay, for Satan to come into the camp. And that was why God allowed 23,000 of them to be destroyed in one day. He said, now let us try the Lord as some did, and they were destroyed by serpents. That serpent issue, I don't know whether we should discuss that one or well, it will come up around that time. The healing that Moses gave them then was when he lifted up the serpent and said, anybody who will look up to it, all right, will be saved. Not grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, I don't want to spend all the time here. We'll still come across these things later. But the word grumble, now for me, is actually very important. Is the opposite of what? Who can tell me the opposite in the scriptures? I'll tell you. Thanksgiving. It's not the opposite of contentment. It's the opposite of what? Thanksgiving. Yes. Complaining and grumbling. Because what used to happen to them is simple. God took them out of Egypt into the promised land. They forgot that they were slaves in Egypt. Isaiah complained that after all we ate good food there. And you know, we are Nigerians, amen? I know nobody, well, maybe because I'm a Nigerian. It's possible people in Bangladesh grumble more than Nigerians. But I've never been to Bangladesh. I really wouldn't know. So I wanted to say nobody grumbles more than Nigerians. But actually, I think everybody, human being, grumbles. And all you need to do is watch TV. But as a believer, The Bible says that those that grumbled, what happened to them? They were destroyed by the destroyer. I think it's so important we learn the attitude of thanksgiving. And that's the fact that it was when people didn't give God thanks that he gave them over to the depravity of their minds. Are you getting my point? All the things that we do in grumbling, can you believe? I don't know the kind of country we are living in. In fact, you know, Ghana the other day celebrated 4 years of uninterrupted power supply. And we say we're the giant of Africa. What kind of giant is this one that is lying down? You know, the other day, even Sudan, that there is war. You know, they had GSM before us. Rubbish country that we are living in. Can you believe it? Our roads are so bad. All the accidents on the road just because of bad road. Which kind of useless country is this? Snake will soon bite you. With that kind of talk. No, and the same person say, oh, I'm leaving this country. I know he'll go to a country where he'll become a slave. A real slave. When I say slave, oh, you never see slavery. A real slave. Somebody was analyzing for me the other day. He said, you know the way American society is designed? They ensure you work all the time. And it is difficult to save money to keep you for more than a week after you stop working. Robert Kiyosaki says, an average American is 2 paychecks away from bankruptcy. He's an average American. That is, you sack him for 2 weeks, doesn't have a job, he's bankrupt. He'll lose his car, lose his house, lose this, lose that, lose that. In fact, he has to file for bankruptcy protection from the people that he's owing. And my friend Chuck told me once, we're discussing this. I said, let him explain that he knows he lives in the U.S. He said, this is how it is. That they had a patient who was sick, had an acute heart condition. They checked him, found they actually had a serious heart problem. So he needed to go for coronary surgery. And as they were counseling him, the man said they should discharge him. He said, what's the problem? He said, I have to go to work. He said, he was explaining to the man, sir, you don't get the point. If you get up here and start walking out, you could drop down dead in front of the hospital here. And the guy said, no, you don't understand. I have to walk. As a taxi driver, a Mexican, he said, you don't understand. I have to walk. I have to walk. And no, please, I get the point. You need this surgery, sir. You could die. The man said, no, 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 you don't get the point. I have bills to pay. My friend told me, he said, no, that's the way it is. Now, that is, you know, he can carry you and tie you with chain. You can see that one. So they call you a slave. But there are chains you can't see. You can't see the chain. You can't see it though, but you are still a slave. You can't run far. Shebi, the idea behind the chain in the leg of the slave is so that he can't go away far. This one too, he can't even go to hospital. Now, why do men get into such situations? This is what I believe very strongly. Because especially Christians, they grumble. You know what I said? They do what? They grumble. You've heard my own way of doing it. Say, power is always failing. Say, thank God, these generators are so cheap. This is, Father, we thank you. 15 years ago, nobody could buy a generator. But right now, we can afford them. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. This one only chose 0.25 liters an hour. Oh, Lord, we worship you for the technology that allows us to use only 1/4 liter for 1 hour. That is 1 hour in 4 hours. 1 liter in 4 hours. Father, we praise you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise be the Lord. Let me tell you the truth. What does that do for you? I'll tell you. In simple terms, it will make you very rich in life. I'm serious on what I say. And you will be free with your wealth. You will not be in bondage to anybody. Listen, when opportunities for prosperity come, you will see them. The grumbling man won't see them. But you, with a thankful heart, you will see them. I described that thanksgiving attitude as the first exercise in developing your ability to believe God for great things. You know, like we have in that book, the same thing I'm teaching on radio now, that the ability to believe, just like Pastor Paul, you talked about manna being the food of champions, all right? That there is an ability to believe. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, now I want to begin to believe. Yesterday I didn't have faith, today I will have faith. Yesterday I was a doubter, today I'm a strong believer. Listen to me. He said, why, what happened? You released one powerful message in the morning. Listen, you know what happened? You've received the word with joy. It's springing up quickly. It doesn't have deepness of earth. You'll soon wither. The first challenge, your faith will vaporize. You know what I mean? The faith you thought you had, it will vaporize. It will. But what are you supposed to do? First, build up your ability to believe. And I explained that the first exercise is in being thankful. Take a glass of water. Lord, I thank you. This water is mine to consume. I drink this water with thanksgiving. Ah, Lord, thank you. Refreshing. Let us just worship the Lord for water that flows. I'm telling you, it's very critical. Do you notice that Jesus never took food for granted? Never. There was no time he ate without giving thanks. Food that he said God gives free to the bread. No, those birds just fly around. Bird don't shit for your head before. Very useless creatures. He said, as they fly. Eh? That's how they shit. One day I woke up in the morning dressed up. I was supposed to go for an exam. As I stepped, I just heard pop on my head. I'm not joking, though. It landed on my head. He said, yeah. At 5:30 in the morning. I said, Father, I thank you. It's a sign of a good day. I'm serious, though. That's what I did. I said, Lord, this is a good day. Ah, I can see good things. After all, I said, there's a funny belief in my place that if bear shit for your head, you'll be a rich man. The lady is a confirmation of what I've always believed. Even the birds of the air confirm. Now, these birds, they eat without praying, nothing. They just wake up in the morning. Jesus said, your heavenly Father feeds them. That's how common food is. Yet, every time you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, first thing he will do is what? He will give thanks. So that's the first level of what? Faith. So that's the opposite of grumbling. We should be careful as believers that we don't grumble. You always have something to give God thanks for. Now, let's go on. So now, therefore, okay, now let me just read that verse 13 again. So no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Now, please notice that he said that, now, he gave a background to it. People have been tempted in previous times, and there is no temptation, he says, that comes upon you, but that which is common to men, that other people have gone through. He said, now, there's something that God does. He never allows you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. What does that mean? God regulates the amount of temptation that come to you, number one. Number two, any temptation you see, you can handle. That's the summary. That is, whether you feel like it or not, that is, if God runs a gym, there's no weight there you can't carry. Yes. No, that's just the way it is. The problem, like I said, the basic problem beforehand here is the fact that people are craving something that is different. Therefore, they don't understand. They are unable to discover the strength they have to bear the temptation. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if, you know, I like one thing that Oswald Chambers said, which will help me explain this a bit further, then we'll close with that. Oswald Chambers said that Jesus never came to save the world. Have you heard me say that before? Oswald Chambers said Jesus didn't come to save the world. It was the Father that was saving the world. That Jesus came to do what? Do the will of the Father. I know that was the first time I heard that. I never heard anybody else say it apart from myself while I was quoting Oswald Chambers. Do you know what I mean? Yes, it said that Jesus never came to save the world. It was the Father that was saving the world. That Jesus came to do the will of God. I'm explaining something. When we're talking about temptation, I always say that people, look, I discussed this last week Saturday, not this last one and the one before that, that people don't understand how to judge what temptation is. That's why they easily fall for it. Do you get my point? That they think this is about money or no money. This is about passing or not passing. The man said, if you don't come to bed with me, you will not pass. No. It is not about that. It's about destiny. It's about opening doors for Satan. You're getting my point? That if we really have a correct perspective of what the temptation that we are dealing with is, we will discover that we actually have the strength to overcome it. There's no temptation that has come upon you that the Bible says God did not allow it only because he knew that you had the ability to handle it. Do you get my point? You know, I said something before. Let me just end here, right? You know that Jesus, when we read the temptations in the wilderness, there are three of them. That I'm sure we don't do that anymore. We just assume that that was the day he was tempted. But actually, that was not the day he was tempted, in quotes. He was tempted before. He had the same temptations had been going on in his life for years. That was just the one that was recorded for us to learn from. Are you getting my point? As a matter of bread and tempting God and all of that, since he was 16 or before that, they had been teaching him with little bits of don't tempt God yet. Don't disobey God because you have the power to convert stone to bread. Don't seek after your own luxury. Don't seek after your own good alone. He has been going through those temptations for a very long time. And when he finally entered into the wilderness, God knew by experience, all right, that he could handle that. That is, he had built his muscles over time in resisting temptation. Do you get my point? It's like you are going for Olympics. While you are practicing, maybe you are a coach. And your boy is there. You know he's very good. Cool. Together. They put weights down. 300 pounds. Oh yeah. Clean and jerk. You look at it. 300 pounds. Small thing. You remember that when you guys were practicing, you used to do 370, 380. You get my point? And once the man is together, you know, you don't worry. So is he going to carry it? He said, how much? You guys, you add 10 to this side. He'll carry it. You know he can carry the weight. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's the way it is with Christians and temptations and all of that. God knows that you can handle it. The problem, however, is that, you see, it's not the day of temptation that a man really falls. I don't know whether you get what I said. It's not that day of temptation that he really falls. When did he fall? When he started craving evil things many years ago. I don't know whether you got my point. Let me just give this illustration and then we're out of here. Remember David? One day he got up, he took a wife, killed the husband, and then permanently married the woman. I read George MacDonald, one of those men of old, and he explained the principle that the degree of iniquity you saw in the heart, in the life of David, with the case of Uriah and Bathsheba, all right? He said that was the extent to which his heart was not fully yielded to God. I don't know whether you understand that. That is, that little bit of iniquity was in his heart. And I've preached this one before. That why didn't God prevent David from... You know, God could have done that. God could easily have done that. All God needed to do was to give him stomach ache that morning. When a man wants to get up, his stomach will begin to ache. One angel will just take a sword and be moving his spleen up and down. And the man will be turning. Then once Bathsheba bath finish, the angel will vanish. He said, what was that? He won't understand that the woman don't bath finish. They don't go house. You get my point. Now, this is just by the will. I have a feeling that David knew when she normally baths. That's when he went out that time. I suspect. I wasn't there, but I have a strong suspicion. And the man said, now this time this girl, they bath. So just come out. Was meditating, waiting for her to start bathing. So God said, all right, no problem. Stand. Now, this is the point I'm making. Why didn't God just prevent it? I'll tell you my answer. The reason is because God is more interested in a pure heart. Do you get my point? David would never have found out that his heart was impure. That's the simple thing. It was a difficult time for David. It was a difficult thing, but God was excited. Do you know why? At the end of the day, God had created in him a pure heart. Because he prayed a simple prayer. Afterwards, he said, create in me a pure heart and renew a right spirit within me. Before then, David thought he never did anything wrong. God said, all right, no problem. You know what we're going to do? Let us allow the evil inside his heart to manifest. What am I saying? Was it when he saw Bathsheba that he felt, no, not at all. Long ago. And some of those bad habits, I don't know where Solomon inherited it from. You know what I mean? I don't know. Because when they gave it to him, his father had repented. Maybe he read some of the books his father used to read and the man forgot to throw away. And the bad habit crept into his life. What I'm trying to say, it's not the point of temptation that's the problem. He said they craved evil things. Are you getting my point? There was something inside their heart, a little bit of evil that was lurking somewhere deep. But because the man thought it wasn't there, God said, we have to allow it manifest so that we'll be able to clean it out properly. This is how we create a clean heart. We discussed that one on Saturday. Usually, it's when God allows you to see that evil is there. There are different ways. God can just, you know, by simple word, as somebody is preaching, the thing just enters your heart and you know that this thing is talking about me. Are you getting my point? Or secondly, God said, no problem. I will allow you to do it. When you have committed the crime, then you will now know that there's no explanation again. And listen, as a child of God, the fastest way, the easiest way to keep yourself out of trouble, even when they're not talking to you, assume it's you they are talking to. Say, all you adulterers and liars and thieves in here. And say, I know they're not talking to me. No, don't do like that. Open your shirt and check whether... maybe that. That is... No, no, they not call your name. You understand? But just peep inside, see? Is my heart like that, really? I'm not joking. It sounds like a joke, but I really am serious about it. You say, is my heart really like that? Father, go peradventure. Please. A simple prayer. Not, don't mind them. All these thieves. We know them. All these politicians. We know. They all die and go to hell. God say, you. Okay. Wait. I don't know whether you get my point. That was how God demonstrated it to David. The first story, long story, David said, they are in trouble. In this Israel where I am king, there is no unrighteousness allowed. Fine. See, this was your state of heart until we allowed, this was your thought pattern. Until we allowed you to do it, now you have seen it. But again, David, good man. He quickly repented. You know, if to sin, I saw. Saul will say, Samuel, you don't understand. It was the woman that called me. He said, what about the killing of Uriah? He said, well, let a lie. Uriah committed suicide. He committed suicide. Till, I'm serious. Till someone will go there. You know, Saul won't change his mind. Saul, no. It wasn't my fault. Okay, why were they living near the palace? Why were they living near the palace? Why should they bath in the open? Did you not make a law that everyone should bath in secret? Oh, no, Samuel. It wasn't me. It was the woman. What about Uriah? Uriah is a tactically blunderous man. Is that English all right? That he makes a lot of tactical blunders. We have told him, when people are fighting, don't go near the walls. I mean, remember last time we were invading the Amalekites? Look, you know what happened? Uriah was the one who felt we should charge through that place. Look, he's dead now. You want to blame me? You know, when the guy finished, Samuel shook his head. He said, this guy, you are hopeless. All right, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. But there's something something I should say. I should just say this and then we'll leave. It's part of what Paul was explaining. And that's the fact that, you know, he warned people that if you do that which is wrong, God has no choice. He will treat you like an unbeliever. You did get my point? That when the Bible talks about the fear of God, please, I don't believe in that expression you use a lot, the reverential fear of God. It's not reverential fear. It's not respect of God. You see, there's a difference between respect and fear. Do you get my point? There's a difference between respect and fear. If you want to cross the road, and I say don't cross, out of respect you can say, okay, Pastor Bank said don't cross. But if Mopo carry gun and say, you stop there! You know, it has nothing to do with respect, though. You look the gun. Yeah, I didn't want to cross before, Zev. You know, you start explaining it away. That is what is called fear. Okay, so I'll wait for you here. That's respect, though. Do you follow what I'm saying? Fear is that, if you cross, that mama, he may shoot. You know, that is fear. And listen, I'm sorry to say this, but that's a matter of fact. That is what the Bible preaches. Fear the Lord, ye his sins. That's what he's saying. I know people say, God is love, God doesn't cause trouble. Listen, I don't know which kind of Bible we read. No, honestly, we obviously don't read the special scriptures. Because he said, these things were recorded for our learning. They did this, did that, and therefore they died in the wilderness. They did this, 23,000 died in one day. He said, for that reason, please, let us take examples and not sin like the saint. Is that not what he was saying? He said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. What it means is that if he says, don't cross, don't stop crossing out of respect. Assume it's a soldier that have cocked his gun that saying don't cross. Halt, who goes there? Advance to be recognized. Halt, who are you? I said in the barracks. That's how we used to do that at the gate. It's in the dark. The man's gun is you know, if it's a real war season. Alright? His gun is trained on you. When he says halt, please halt. When he says advance to be recognized, don't retreat to disappear. Because in my shoot, the Lord is good. Listen to me, that's what they call the fear of God. That is, oh boy, it's not as if God doesn't love us. He does. I have a son who is in the age of plenty misbehavior and that needs to be corrected with, you know what I mean, different things. Yesterday, I heard that after my wife left, I left the house earlier to come here and come and do a radio recording. I heard that by the time she was leaving, she told my son, they were doing his homework. Okay, finish your homework, and then she went out. As soon as she left, the boy abandoned the homework, Cartoon Network, crossed his legs and began to watch cartoon. Then when I returned, when I horned at the gate, I entered the house. I said, where's Akindu? He says, he's upstairs doing his homework. And I don't know, actually, he heard the horn and he went upstairs to do his homework. So I called him. I said, come here. I heard that when your mother left, you decided to start watching cartoons instead of finishing your homework. He said, yes. So I saw a cane nearby. I said, give me that cane. The guy moved back small. His countenance changed. Actually, his countenance fell. I know because I heard it land on the ground, actually. It shattered. And I wasn't mind to cane him. Actually, I just saw the cane. They just wanted to hold it back. The guy looked. I said, you know what your punishment is? No TV again today. Of course, there was no TV again that day anyway. I said, and the whole of tomorrow. He said, yes. So I will not watch TV at all tomorrow, right? I said, no. He said, very good. Yes. You know what he was saying? Was agreeing heartily. The cane was in my right hand. He was agreeing. I said, now you are going to finish your homework and you go and have your bath and you go and sleep. He said, yes. Right now I'm going upstairs. I'm going to finish. Should I finish it upstairs? I'll come and finish it downstairs. I said, you finish it upstairs. You know, all the guy was thinking about is, whatever I need to do that this cane will not be used, I will do it. She says, no, it's just tomorrow that there will be no TV. No problem. That is what is called fear. Do you get the point? Please, he said, if we do like within the wilderness, then we'll suffer the same consequences. I said something last time. Let us learn, like Moses, to circumcise our firstborn so that God, after giving us a commission, will not be the one to come and oppose us on our way to fulfill that commission. I hope you got the point. All right, let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's just thank him for the power of his word.